Hey, we are the Heat Changers. And are everywhere.
The other day I was telling you that I was considering traveling to Greece to attend a couple of industry events. Well, I will, and I'm very excited about it. I was in Athens and a couple of islands on holidays 6 years ago, and I loved it. Now I'm really looking forward to meeting the Greek solar thermal industry in their capital city.
That's so great, Marisol. I mean, getting to go to a beautiful sunny place and also network with people who are also passionate about this thing that you love so much, that's the best. And you've mentioned other opportunities for networking too. It makes me think that the solar season has really kicked off.
Indeed, many industry trade shows, conferences and events are happening this time of the year. Also, the high season for solar projects has started. Hopefully, this will also be a year when records are beaten in terms of energy generation from renewables, although we need it more in winter.
There are many things happening right now, so it's crazy busy. A lot of change will come in June. There will be the EU Sustainable Energy Week that takes place in Brussels and also online. So this is the biggest event in Europe addressing policy and sustainable energy. We will be present there at Solar Heat Europe. We are co-organizing a policy session with other associations that will be addressing the Energy Performance for Buildings Directive. And of course, we'll bring the perspective of the solar heat sector. For us will be the Solar Monday, the renovation. Right now, the current rate of renovation of buildings in Europe is very low. It's like 1% per year. The idea is to improve that. So in order to have energy performant buildings, we also need to have renovated buildings.
This is related to the Fit for 55 package that Alexandra explained in a previous episode.
I remember way back from the start of the season. The overall goal of the EU is to be climate neutral by 2050, and the first milestone is to reduce emissions by at least 55% by 2030. And, as a consequence, several legislations are being modified accordingly.
There is the overall renewables target, and the agreement is on a binding target, so that has to happen, which is 42.5% of energy from renewable sources in the overall energy mix by 2030. So almost half has to be renewables by 2030. This is very important news because the current EU level target is 32%. Now the next step will be for member states. Each member state, so each country, will need to increase their national contributions set in their integrated national energy and climate plans, which they have to update in this year and in the next year in order for all the countries to collectively achieve this new target. Another target in the Renewable Energy Directive is the heating and cooling target, which of course was a focus for us. There will be a gradual increase in renewables for heating and cooling, with a binding increase of 0.8% per year at national level until 2026, and then 1.1% from 2026 to 2030.
Aha, I heard the magic word, heating. You're right. Now that I am more aware of the relevance that heating has in our daily lives, I do realize that in casual conversations about energy and climate change, we really only refer to power and electric needs.
Exactly. And we need to see the big picture in order to succeed in the energy transition from fossil to renewables. If we leave the heat sector behind, we are missing a big part. At least half of the energy that we use is for heating, remember? And also here, there is a first good step, which is the so-called energy efficiency. This means more or less something like doing the same with less energy, because the best energy is not fossil or renewable, but the one that we don't need.
The main target of the directive is to reduce the final energy consumption at the EU level by 11.7% in 2030. There is another article which was actually focused for us. which says that the countries have to require regional and local authorities to prepare heating and cooling plans in cities above 45,000 people. And then another one, which is also kind of related to this. This is not a new article. This was already in the Energy Efficiency Directive, but it can be implemented better. So this is good to know for, let's say, our future work, is that all member states should have a comprehensive assessment of the heating and cooling demand.
Let's say we tick the box for having more ambitious goals. The next thing is to have a level playing field for all renewable energy technologies, as they say in Brussels.
But of course, the journey is not over, right? So now the implementation of these directives, it's obvious that will bring significant benefits to our sector, but also to the other renewable energy industries. And of course, they are highly necessary given the time that we have left to, let's say, to address the climate crisis. Now, the proposed targets within the directives will drive the growth of the solar heat sector, both in small scale and large scale. But further on, it's crucial to ensure that solar heat is recognized and its adoption increases at the member state level. One of the important messages that we need to get across to at the national level is that by supporting solar heat and by deploying more solar heat installations, the member states can make significant progress in meeting more of the targets that I was explaining before. Because if you implement solar thermal, you can tick the box for the overall renewables target, you can tick the box for heating and cooling, you can tick the box for district heating and cooling, for industry, and even the one for energy efficiency.
Wow, okay. So it sounds like solar thermal really has a big diversity of purposes and applications.
Now that you mentioned, diversity is a concept that we can definitely apply in this sector. In previous episodes, we've heard the opinion of solar thermal manufacturers in Sweden and Austria. This time, we will go Mediterranean, just to get in the mood for my business trip.
We have become a leader in worldwide level as we are offering solutions which perfectly match to the needs of its market. Our products are fully certified in many different countries, ensuring end users for the offer quality and efficiency of the products and the solution they will choose. So, independently, if there are governmental support on each country, we should always think that our technology is not something new. There is practically, we say, there is no risk. It is a proven technology with good results. For more than 50 years, users have understood the benefits of solar thermal products and the energy saving which can be achieved. For us, the governmental support is not so important. Of course, it helps a lot when, let's say, all these are combined together. We see some kind of boom in specific markets, but definitely is not our priority. We set up targets according to the country where we can really help people and support them as much as we can.
He is Harry Michalopoulos, Managing Director of Sampler, one of the first companies in Greece in the field of manufacturing solar thermal systems, founded in 1975. With more than 45 years of experience, it manufactures products that meet the modern needs of consumers, both in the residential and industrial sector. Following the requirements of the Greek and international market, the company is constantly expanding its activities to new certified products, always following the saying, "Only the best is good enough."
It's so helpful to get a truly European overview. I can imagine that the business strategy in Mediterranean solar companies differs a lot from that of companies in Central Europe or Scandinavia. I mean, you all have so much sun to begin with.
In Sampler, we continuously develop innovative technologies for the production of sustainable products. With all our efforts, we communicate to our customers about the advantages of the implementation of this strategy in our products. And the most important thing channel is social media. And number two, we are organizing some events. And especially in these events, we are also trying to, involve some other organizations, for example, Greenpeace. Personally, I want to participate as much as I can in order to promote our technology. That's why I really want to be as active as possible. A solar water heater is an affordable technology. So we really participate and we are really a part of the solution of the energy poverty. We can offer our products to much more people than any other technology. We can say that we are aligned with the targets of EU about the energy. We can really be part of the solution of the energy crisis, which arrived, let's say, 1.5 year ago, mainly in Europe.
In terms of solar thermal installed capacity, Greece ranks sixth globally after China, Turkey, Germany, India, and Brazil. Most importantly, it has one of the highest market penetration rate after Barbados, Cyprus, Israel, and Austria. The Greek market annual growth rate in 2021 was 18%, one of the highest in those difficult pandemic times. The market is evolving from the typical segments of small hot water systems for dwellings and buildings to large-scale systems that meet a larger hot water demand, for instance, in hospitals, hotels, and sports centers. According to an article from Solar Thermal World, domestic sales increased by 33% from 2014 to 2021, and exports tripled in the same period.
We are really very proud that we managed in the middle of 2022 to complete the construction of our new factory in Pilivioutias, just 35 kilometers from Athens. During this year, we are finalizing also our investment plan regarding new automated production lines. So we are expecting that we will be able to reach a target of more than 250,000 square meters of collectors and more than 50,000 solar tanks. Figures which are really something like 3-4 times more comparing to our current production capacity. We have reached almost 80% of our production to be exported in something like 48 countries in four continents. 3 years ago, we just reached more than 50% exports out of Europe. So, yes, the truth is that number one continent is Europe for us. Number two has become America. Number three is Asia. And number four is Africa. We have some nice countries that we are active, for example, starting from countries in the Caribbean, in United States, to Chile and Argentina, Vietnam, or South Korea. So the next target is Australia.
Three facts about solar heating systems that you must know. Number one, with solar heating systems, you can get over 3 times more energy than with solar PV systems. Let's say you want to get 3 megawatt hour of heat a year, you would need 6.5 square meters only. If you'd rather install a PV system to get an equivalent power generation, you would require more than 15 square meters. By the way, 10 square meters of solar thermal collectors can save emissions equivalent to planting 140 trees. Number two, you can save around 2 tons of CO2 per year if you replace an oil-based heater with a solar water heating system to get your hot water and heating at home. This corresponds to more than 1 year of driving about 14,000 kilometers with a small car and with a fraction of the investment. Number three, the recyclability rate of solar heating systems exceeds 95%, including both the solar collector and the storage tank for your hot water. Besides, the collection process does not require special recycling means or channels.
Solar thermal is a technology which, let's say, belongs to the renewable energies. So it is 100% linked to circularity. We know very well that, let's say, the resources in our planet are limited. So we are committed to establishing the circular economy as a sustainable future-oriented concept in the industry and to protect the earth in this way. This is a kind of concept which is totally accepted, also understood by our customers, because at the end, people which really want to ensure the sustainability, they choose our technology, they choose our products. Industrial users, for sure, their priority is how to reduce their carbon dioxide emissions and in generally how to reduce their energy footprint. For end users is quite a similar concept, as they are also thinking what they can do to protect the environment, even by just a very small effort.
Oh yeah, as a consumer, circularity is everywhere. It's in the reclaimed wood in my furniture, it's in my secondhand clothes, it's in the trees that get planted by my search engine. Yeah, it's very, very present everywhere in the consumer mindset.
Solar heat is a technology. It's already available and proven. It's cost competitive. It generates direct energy in the form of hot water or steam. It's a local solution which brings not only environmental benefits through CO2 reduction, but also improves energy security and independence. And it comes with thermal storage, which can facilitate the integration with other technologies.
I see. We need to understand the whole picture. That's so hard when you're not an expert. I wish everyone making that kind of decision had a competent advisor. It makes you think how much work there is to be done and how many opportunities there must be for people who might be looking to make a career change or those who are about to enter the labor market.
I totally agree that on each company, we need all type of skilled employees. We are a production, we are a factory, so definitely priority is engineers, but also we need people which are in finance and people in marketing, because this is also very important. We are in a period that everything is communicated by social media. Therefore, we need young people which are very specialized in how to use social media. We have to be sure that we have to invest in our employees, which is very important, no matter the industry or company size. In our company, we have implemented training courses for our employees, and we have a motto here saying that we have to make the good employee, we have to make best employee. For me, the most important is a person should have a vision, should always think out of the box. We really need revolutionary solutions. The age is not priority, but they have to think more revolutionary.
As I said, there are many things happening, changes coming for the better, for a more sustainable future. And as an industry, we must be ready to seize the opportunity. Solar heat can be a game changer in the decarbonization of heating and overall in driving the energy transition. But we have to work together. So let's work together to demonstrate the potential and the benefits of solar heat for a clean and for that sustainable energy future.
I feel like I just learned so much about the big picture and how so many of the pieces come together, especially for consumers. Everything from legislation to private industry choices to consumer choices, and also, you know, the great opportunity for individuals to have economic prosperity because of the growth in this new industry. Yes, I'm leaving feeling very optimistic. Thank you. Have a great trip to Greece, Marisol.
And are you ready to become a heat changer?